pase, pierna derecha, directo al arco, golazo, golazo.
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Tuesday, October 22nd, 2019. I'm Kevin Larame, joined by Dwayne Mullins, as always. Dwayne, of course, we're going to talk about Tuesdays are for Europe, a little bit of European Premier League talk, and Champions League, of course, because, yeah, I woke up this morning and you text me, okay, oh, yeah, it's Champions League today. Damn, Champions League, out of sight, out of mind this year, I guess. But we're going to get there. But before, there's a lot of news today, Dwayne. We'll start with team number 29, as announced last month on this show and other places as well. Sacramento will be team number 29 in Major League Soccer, Dwayne.
Exactly, and I thought of Evan Raymond. We haven't had on here for a while. Used to talk a lot about Sacramento with us. He's had his whole career there, and then moved on to a different beat. In the entire time that we've had this conversation, it's been going on that long. Look, they earned their way in. There's no pro rel, as we all know, in this league, but there is a sort of earned way in. There is a way that you can sort of prove concept to MLS, and it is a business concept. Let's not kid ourselves, and that's why Sacramento was more delayed than a Cincinnati, for instance, who did kind of a similar thing. No one was talking about either market prior to the fans showing up, but they're in. And team 29, remember when they were cutting it off at 28? Yeah, no. Yeah, neither do I.
Remember when they're going to cut it off at 32? Oh, wait, no, they won't. They'll continue.
I'm going to keep going.
MLS, team number 528. Here we have Providence, Rhode Island, joining Major League Soccer in 2042.
Two conferences split evenly. You could go as high as 48 before you start to get into weirdness. And hell, there's no real reason you can't even have stop there. You can divide it into three at that point. And there's a lot of markets that can host games. But we'll see how that plays out in the future. But certainly right now, we're probably at least going to 32. And I'm glad that they've got in. Because I have been talking about Sacramento since my previous show. So that is now Kevin and I have been doing this for more than 5 years, and there was a year hiatus in there. So it's a long time.
Oh, yeah, no, it's a long time. It's called football. If you're new to this and you don't know, Dwayne used to host It's Called Football a long time ago with Ben Rycroft and also Ben Knight.
Ben Knight, yeah.
Yeah, I know these guys by name. Never actually met any of those guys. So I'm not actually sure they exist. I still think it might be a little Dwayne's imagination here. But no, there's proof. I'm just kidding. When we talk about Sacramento, Dwayne, the long time they took to build the project, to build the bid, right? And they were part of the bidding process in 2014, in 2016, and before that, they have gone through the gauntlet a few times. This time, it happened in a respectful way, I think, for a ownership group that has been working really hard on this project since 2014. So a few meetings. Don Garber, I'm like, all right, you guys are ready now. All right, we're ready for you guys for now. You guys waited long enough in the lobby. Your room is finally ready. Welcome to Major League Soccer.
It reminds me a little bit of the, you can get your bingo card out, of the NHL method of expansion where, there was a lot of cities, particularly here in Canada, where a lot of noise would be made and the politicians would be all banging the drum and everyone would be trying to, build arenas and all that sort of stuff. And the NHL would kind of just shut up and never anything would happen. Then quietly, Seattle comes in, right?
Yeah. Or the exact opposite. Like Quebec gets an arena, gets everything and no team. But Winnipeg did.
Yes, the same difference. It's like, yeah, and those cities all learned the hard way. And Quebec's been quiet, if you want to talk about hockey real quickly. They have been quiet for a while, so everything I've heard on that side of things is that, that's the way to get in. You got to play the politics behind closed doors, and it's a closed society. They do not want anything aired out. And as soon as Sacramento shut up, this guy started to just do the work to solidify the business side of things is when they got the team. So draw your own conclusion from that. But the other end, And good for them. I mean, I'm scared. You know, for years I used to talk about worry that they'd be the Rochester Rhinos. You know, a reference to the Rochester was largely thought to be a front runner to a late 90s expansion in Major League Soccer because of the fandom that they had there. And of course, that petered out, and now Rochester Rhinos. Do they even still exist? I'm not 100% sure.
They don't. At least not in the top tier professional level. I think there's still like an academy. Me and Tristan were talking about it a few weeks ago. But no, the Rochester Rhinos are no more. We're going to have to find another reason to go to Rochester to eat some barbecue.
There's that ice Crevel's, the ice cream stop there.
Dino's barbecue is where we all want to go. But yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Anyway, I used to watch a lot of Rochester TV as a kid because I lived in Belleville, and which is right straight across the lake. So we get all the Rochester media. So I always have, a soft spot for that city.
It's not like it's close. You still have to cross like an ocean.
A lake. Yeah.
Like a lake. A lake doesn't give it justice, but I truly agree. But that's, I think, it's all our thoughts on Sacramento. We're not disagreeing. Sacramento has been not necessarily a favorite part of California for me, but at least it's a part that feels getting a team for the right reason. It's not like NYCFC or LAFC, which they're doing great. I have nothing to say against them since they joined the league, but it's not like there was a fan base clamoring for that team before their existence. Sacramento had a fan base, has a fan base. Sacramento has been making waves in the soccer world for a decade. So I think the fans have waited long enough, and it's just about time to give them the team. I think if they would have waited a year or two, and last time I texted or emailed Evan Ream, I don't remember when it was, but I was asking him, is there a possibility that it's too long and the fan base erodes because the carrot at the end of the stick just never come? And once you run after that carrot, if you don't get a little taste of that carrot, eventually you're just going to get bored and stop running after an unattainable candy. This time around, the candy came just at the right time, I think, because a year or two might have been too long.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, people do things start, and the novelty of stuff wears off, and that's no disrespect to Sacramento. I think you nailed it before. Like, I mean, there's two ways you get an MLS right now, and you mentioned LAFC and you mentioned NYCFC. Both are markets that have worked very well, but that's a case of MLS looking at a market gap and saying we need to plug that gap. This is a case of MLS looking at a market that exists and saying we need to take that market. A slightly different approach, but both have proven to be successful in Major League Soccer.
It's even more like a market that they do not want in the league, but that time and time again, they knock on the door. They're like, we got everything we need. We got all the signatures. Speaking of election, we can be on the ballot. Look, we got everything we need. And for once, they said, okay, fine, you're in.
Fair enough. I'd like a little bit of a break on election talk because it's going to gear back up in February in the States, and I just finished it up here, and I need a little break from them for a while now. But yeah, right. Anyway.
Let's continue. Let's move on to more news this morning. This coming out of Columbus, well, it's actually yesterday. There's a lot of player personnel decisions that have been taking over the last few days in different Major League Soccer teams, and now they're starting to be public. The Columbus Crew have made theirs public, but the biggest name not coming back to Columbus is Peppa. We're not talking about Peppa Pig in England. I know Tuesdays are for Europe. We're talking about Peppa Higuain not coming back with the Crew, Dwayne.
Yeah, it's sort of a reflection of the Crew needing, I think, to do a reset here. They had their big announcement for the stadium, and I think that was a really valuable thing. And it's almost the Crew right now almost remind me of Minnesota 3 years ago, in the sense that I think that it's going to be a build to that stadium launch, and they will be like, they're not obviously going to have a soft launch because their soft launch started in 1996. So they're going to have,
it's a heck of a soft launch.
Yeah, they're going to have a like a continuation of where they are, and probably try and downsize. I'm not trying to say they're gonna really rebuild in Major League Soccer, but I suspect that they'll get a little younger and they'll get a little bit more focused and geared down and sort of build up for the big launch, the hard launch, or 2.0 launch. And maybe I haven't heard any rumors of any kind of rebranding there. And I would hope that maybe there wouldn't be. And I suspect that because of the battles that the Crew fans went through to not have, you know, to save it, that I don't think they'd want the rebrand. But
you know what's going to happen? I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. They had it rebranded, what, 4 years ago? Four or five years ago?
Sort of. Crew FC, yes.
Well, no, but the rebrand was the visual rebrand, right? The literally taking the workers out of the logo and making a logo crest. How much you want to bet that in a year or two, the workers are back on the logo?
Going to bring back the Village People?
Yeah. Why not? Why not? That's better than, anyways.
Well, they could probably sell some third kits if they were to bring that crest back in some level. It certainly has a certain I know everyone hates the Rebs crest. I actually, it's growing on me. It's so of its time. It's so 1996 screaming at you. Yeah, bring it back. The Crew one was pretty bad too, but it's good bad. It's, you know, like the old NASL logos. Not quite like the Colorado. What was that Colorado team that had the fringe on their jerseys? Those were the best.
Jesus, the Mustangs,
Bisons, or something.
I think it was the Bisons. Anyway. It was the Bisons. Oh yeah, they did have the fringe, and they wore leather. Yeah. Can you imagine wearing like leather fringes?
People would be pulling the fringe, pulling them back on corners.
Oh yeah, that's interesting. All right, moving on. There's of course a lot more things we could talk about in the news department that happened this weekend. Unfortunately, I want to draw your attention to problems in Mexico last weekend. A great article by a friend of the show, Tom Marshall, which. Tom, if you're listening, I'm going to text you in the next few hours. I'm going to ask you to come on the show because this is crazy what's going on, Dwayne. We're not just talking about one issue. Those are all different issues. There's been violence there that has postponed games, of course, in the Sinaloa, in the Culiacan region, the Dorados team, which is weird. You have a team in, of course, a part of the world that is controlled, I should say, by narco cartels, and the manager of that team is Diego Maradona, of course. That makes a lot of sense, I guess. Anyways, that there was problems with players being paid for Veracruz, and it's been going on for a long time, for like 6 months. And of course, Tigres were supposed to do a sort of solidarity for 1 minute, but they thought it was one. It was supposed to be three. Tigres scored a couple times. Hilarity ensued, and a lot of other teams, other players of teams like Chivas Guadalajara has mentioned, you know, we were supposed to show solidarity. This was an opportunity to show that we can stick together as player in Mexican football. And no, because teams like Tigres want to take advantage of everything they can because their end justifies their means. And then you have a team like Club America, Dwayne, that is owned by Televisa, which is one of the biggest TV companies in Mexico. Also very close to the Federation Mexican of Football, Football Mexican Federation, which wants to try to keep the Veracruz situation under wraps. They try to give him a fund and money to pay the players, but the players have to go to the third party and complain. Some of their contracts of the players, according to Tom Marshall, are like on a napkin or a handshake. So you don't have proof. You can't just go complain and be like, I haven't been paid. So that situation is terrible as well. And there was fights, protests in the stands, and fights on the field. The game had to be halted as well on Sunday at Estadio Alfonso Lastras. This was a nightmare weekend for Mexican football.
No, absolutely. I mean, look, there's a lot of great voices out there. You mentioned Tom Marshall, Hercule Gomez, obviously former player, played both Mexican and Major League Soccer, also been on the show, that have talked a lot about the problems within Mexican football as they relate to sort of the organizational infrastructure side of things. There's, you know, essentially, I'm not the expert on it. Those people are. You should go find their voices and read their stuff, listen to their stuff to get a better insight into this. But certainly there are. There is a lot of power held by a very few, and not a lot of power held by the players. The players are essentially placed places. Their movement, although it is not like Major League Soccer where there's Cam Dam and Bam and Dram and Bam Bam Bam. There's they just say no, you're just going there, like that sort of stuff, right?
And you want to play? Yeah, you're playing there.
Yeah, and that's much more menacing than, you know, a little bit of TAM money, right? but we make fun of Tam a little bit easier because it's a little bit more, it's easier to make fun of. It's right there in front of you, where this is just under the surface corruption stuff. And this is playing out. And these players, they're brave to do something like that because, you know, they might find themselves, you know, best case without a job, worst case
without a life,
families threatened. Yeah.
I'm sorry to be blind, but when you talk about teams in the Sinaloa region, like Dorados, do some digging. Look who's the owner of Dorados, and you tell me. It's not a good situation.
And this is, you know, look, to turn this to or upward looking, you know, up north upward looking, it's when you see things like this, if you're Major League Soccer and you open up that bank book a little bit more, there's an opportunity there for you because these players are going to go somewhere where they do have a little bit more rights, where they do. So like Mexican players get the hell out of Mexico as fast as they can, right? Like they go to Europe as quickly as they can.
Yep.
If MLS was just a little bit more open in its movement and a little bit more flexible and stuff, I think that they can really take advantage of that. And ultimately, that's why, as much as I clearly will argue with all the evidence on earth on my side that the Mexican League is quite a bit above Major League Soccer in terms of overall quality, I still believe that MLS has a greater potential, has a greater ceiling than Liga MX because of stuff like this.
You know what should happen? We should mix the on the field of Liga MX and off the field of Major League Soccer. This could be the best football league in the world. If you could just make it like a matchup, like a mashup, like mash up those two concepts. Liga MX, all the players play Liga MX on the field. That's great. And then all the organization will and front office power of Major League Soccer, and you got yourself quite a favorable league.
Yeah, fair enough. And I mean, we're getting into really, really big topics here, too, that go well beyond sport, right? Like, I mean, there's if those of you are, most of us here listening have Netflix in some capacity, the Netflix documentary series on food called Rotten. Watch the Avocado Wars, which is the premiere episode of this season of Rotten. Similar stuff from a similar region. And basically, the drugs were crushed out, so they found another commodity to
whatever
know,
it
use
is
to their advantage.
It's just how they do things, right? It's the same for us in your neck of the woods and my neck of the woods back in the 70s, 80s, and the organized crime, the mafia in Montreal, or you had the bike gangs, right? It's all the same thing. If it's not drugs, you got to find something to profit from. It could be avocados from Mexico, right? Exactly. Or it could be like, pay us or we're going to trash your window of your shop.
I grew up in a part of Canada where the bike gangs were pretty prevalent. They'd leave you alone if you left them alone.
Well, exactly. But don't go knocking on their door. Come on. I've seen a dumb kid do that once. Like he's 13 years old. I don't want to go knock on the door. Like, you do it by yourself, buddy. I'm going literally far away from here.
Yeah. Well, the Hell's Angel used to have like a... have a gift shop that you could go buy material from here in Toronto until they got closed down about 15, 20 years ago, if you can imagine. But that's, anyway, different this is different time. Level stuff here. Well, no, it is the same level stuff. It's just, it's more menacing because you don't have that sort of, there are no controls beyond it. And it does creep into sports as we've seen here. And it's unfortunate from a Mexican societal standpoint, because it is a brilliant country with amazing culture and spectacular weather, as we all know, and just great people.
And people are
anyone
amazing,
has dealt with them, no, but it's,
It's, we're not here to solve problems, but the cartel aspect is just a very small thing of what happened in the weekend. It just postponed a game, and then the goalie of Dorados made like just disparaging remarks regarding the situation of narcos fighting each other in the street. So it's never funny, and it's always the public who's held hostages when things like this happened, especially when their way to distract themselves, soccer, is postponed. And when there's things happening in your league like this, I don't know what the solution is, but at the highest level of the football Mexican Federation, they're looking at what's happening this weekend, and they're going to try to act on it. But again, a great article that I suggest you read on ESPN.com by Tom Marshall called Violence, Mismanaged Protests, Gunfights, Veracruz Problem Cap Off Horror Weekend for Mexican Soccer. Tom, always a great, great writer, and it's a great article for you to read.
Yeah, just real quickly as a final thought on it, I did see some commentary from the players when they were standing still and letting Tigres score around them. Get very sport, very scoreboard centric. Like, oh, they should be banned for life. They should never wear that strip again and stuff like that. That's coming from a place of ignorance. I'll be polite. uninformedness, inform yourself, because if that's the only power you have, then I'm not going to judge anyone, because ultimately, if standing still for 2 minutes might improve your perform, might improve your situation a little bit better, then that's fine. Game is going to come and go.
Would you you change the situation? And sometimes we have our own biases of sports changing how we look at a situation. So there's an exercise that I've started to do. You change the term football player by dishwasher, or you change football player by iron worker. You just change the context a bit. So if you are, as an employee, as a worker, not being paid for a few months, your situation is very precarious, and you know that your employer has something on you. You know your employer has all the big negotiation, I would say, in his balance, because your contract's on a piece of paper, it's not notarized, it's an agreement, verbal agreement, and he's going to take advantage of it. What type of negotiation tactic do you have? You might only have one, and it might be to strike. Who are we to tell that worker that he shouldn't be striking?
Well, yeah, no. My employer is not paying me. I'm not coming. I'm not dragging my ass to Mississauga every day. Well, right?
You're not paying me this week. Guess what? Tomorrow I'm not there. It's that easy. I'm not going to wait 6 months. Those guys are heroes in just the way they handle the situation. And I feel bad for them, because it's literally that. Some of them players are literally making ends meet, not being paid for 6 months, but they don't have a proof of their contract. So what are you supposed to do? Oh, man, it's a terrible situation. And people making fun of that? Look at yourself in the mirror, people.
Yeah, we live in a divisive time, as we saw. As we saw the last couple weeks here in this country, and as we'll see next month, and we're not going to talk about that.
Exactly. Let's take a quick break just to change our mindset, and let's look across the pond.
You are listening to Soccer Today. Follow us on Twitter at Soccer Today SPN and like our Facebook page, facebook.com/ Sports Podcasting Network. You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.
And we're back on Soccer Today. I'm Kevin Laramie with Dwayne Rollins, as always. Tuesdays are for Europe, and we'll talk about the European game before we wrap the show today. Premier League, just a couple of game of notes, of course. We had Sheffield United beating Arsenal in the late game on Sunday, which is hilarious. Actually, it was a Monday night game. Man United Liverpool on Sunday, a 1-1. Liverpool dropping 2 points. That's another fascinating result. What did you think of the Premier League weekend last weekend?
Yeah, look, the Liverpool, as I've said a few times on Tuesdays over the past few weeks, Liverpool has been getting the wins, and so you give them full credit for that. But at the same time, they've had a couple results that let's just be frank about it, that they've been a little fortunate to pull it out, you know, late. You know, penalties against Leicester, goalkeeping errors against Sheffield. They've had some luck involved in there, which any team that wins a championship has to have. This was a case where Liverpool was really the dominant team throughout this, maybe other than the first few minutes, where there are some speculation that Liverpool, for whatever reason, you know, there are things in your life that it doesn't matter how old you get or how good you get or how accomplished you get, they're still going to cause your knees to melt a little bit. You know, maybe it was your high school crush when you see them. It doesn't matter that they've gained 40 pounds and you're suddenly the better catch. You're still like, somehow there's something about them. And there is something with Liverpool and Man United at Old Trafford where Liverpool just can't yet get over the fact that, you know, the old Scotsman isn't on the sideline about to screw them over. And there was a bit of that, I think. And look, Liverpool's still very much in the control of this title race, but that is a hint that City's back in this, because if you do the math, if City were to win out, that would include beating Liverpool twice.
Yeah.
They currently have the goal difference advantage.
We're still talking about a team not losing or drawing any other game until the end of the season, and it's freaking October 22nd, though.
I don't see any evidence that City's going to do this. Then again, I didn't see that any evidence that City was going to do it last January either, and then they did.
True. True. So I'm just playing devil's advocate here. It's easy to say the math say if they win out, they win. But freaking, there's more of the season to come than well, there's look, it, past. Yeah,
I will say this. Actually, the better argument against that, I mean, and most people point these two teams are going to be battling it out like this, and maybe there's, you know, they're going to drop three or four more times and combined they're going to drop points this year. That's the thinking. It's the, you know, they assume it's going to be a high 90s point finish for both. Again, we don't know for sure. As oh,
exactly.
Said.
It could be 84 for both or something like that.
But then you look at Chelsea's surprising form. They're only 2 points back. You look at Leicester's play so far this season, and you go, you know, these teams are hanging around there. They're only 2 points back of City right now, and that's something that we're not talking about as much in our, you know, efforts to talk about how much a team and, well, basically Arsenal and United are struggling and how much City and Liverpool, well, how much Liverpool is excelling and City's to City. So we're well, kind of ignoring some teams in there.
City's excelling. Let's call it what it's called. It's even though it's there's a fatigue because they're always that good, still you have to tip your hat to good teams. And,
yeah, no, and look, the game on Sunday was, as I said, it was a funny little one, and Liverpool did drop some points finally. I think it was about time that, you know, the luck would run out a little bit, and they got the late goal to get the two or get a point out of it. Otherwise, they were looking at dropping three until very late, and it's, you know, where do you cheer for that? I think a lot of people are cheering for Liverpool to get the job done, so they were probably a little upset that United got points off them. But at the same time, everyone's still, you know, there's a bit of a reluctance to view United as like some kind of plucky underdog. They're still Manchester freaking United, one of the richest clubs in the world.
It's so. Like, Dwayne, it's like if I would tell you that the New York Yankees are not a powerhouse in baseball, even though they haven't won in 10 years, right? They're still the freaking Yankees. They still have amazing amount of money and the history and all that. For United, it's the same. And City is now going to be the same for a long time, too. But don't kid yourself, Dwayne. The first time, for example, if City becomes Chelsea and eventually the success is not as easy as it was at the beginning of the new era, then it's going to be the same. You're still going to have that pressure of results. But those results are going to be difficult to get. I just want to mention two other results here. Tottenham 1, Watford 1. How long before Pochettino out?
I don't know. And it's hard to see how he turns this around. Obviously, you have some Champions League games to play for in there as well. Their greatest success last year in that competition, making the final. But there does seem to be kind of a disconnect, and you know, you have pundits openly speculating on British TV that, you know, maybe we should go raid some of their players now too. You know, United needs a striker, go get Kane.
Why not?
You know, and look, if this was 1997, then why not indeed? But I think probably they have enough to keep it together now. It really is a question that a lot of people are asking, and it's, I don't know if there's an answer. If they haven't got rid of him yet after another dropped points, and obviously they play Liverpool upcoming next, you know, I might suggest that Liverpool game might be telling. If the Spurs go out and lay an egg and get embarrassed by Liverpool, then how can you argue that they're in the same competition, that they're close to each other? Because at the start of the year, that was all the conversations. It was the big 2.5. You know, we were kind of talking about it, and it's quickly become true that the Spurs are not in that conversation at all. And that's probably the biggest surprise of anything in this season so far. I mean, Liverpool's great play, but we could see that coming a little bit. We kind of knew Arsenal and United were in rebuilding modes. I don't think anyone saw Spurs struggling as much as they did. They may be the biggest storyline in the early part of the Premier League.
Yeah, and not a good one. For Spurs fan, we'll see what comes out of it, because you know they're gonna have to play today in the Champions League as well. Let's look at the games today in Champions League. An afternoon of soccer is waiting for you, starting at 1 p.m. on DAZN, of course, here in Canada. Shakhtar Donetsk, Dinamo Zagreb, Atletico Madrid, Bayer Leverkusen, Manchester City, Atalanta, Galatasaray, Real Madrid, Olympiacos, Bayern, my new favorite club, Club Brugge versus PSG, Tottenham, Red Star Belgrade, and Juventus You went there. Juventus Lokomotiv Moscow. A lot of salivating matchup today.
Absolutely. If I win the lottery, Kevin, I will buy you a club, and you can call it Club Bruges. Yeah. You can run that club. That'd be fun.
Club Bruges, where soccer is king. Also, cocaine. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know.
Also, there's going to be a copyright infringement lawsuit against us very quickly.
Yeah. Well, you just put nightclub. You just put night in front of club. You're good. Nightclub Bruges. Great. You're good. Good to go.
Nightclub Bruges. And then spell Bruges slightly different.
Yeah, you put like two dots on the U, you know? Yeah, those exactly. Norwegian two dots. You could put those anywhere.
This conversation betrays how interesting the group stage of the Champions League is right now.
Seriously, like Dwayne texted me this morning because I Champions League tonight. I'm like, oh yeah, Champions League. Forgot about that competition. Like I literally did.
Here's the thing, real quickly, to be serious about it. There is a problem with this group stage, and they want to cram more and more games in for monetary reasons, and they've added this third competition, which I'm a little less critical of others, because I do think there is an opportunity for smaller teams to play in Europe again, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, I'm just not going to watch it, but yeah.
But I would almost... Look, if the true goal is to eliminate the possibility in 5-10 years of a Super League emerging, and I think that is kind of what they're trying to avoid. And, you know, you still have the big clubs saying the right things. I've heard Bayern Munich's president say that they will not always reject these ideas. I've heard the British clubs say they always reject the English clubs. That was a bit of a Freudian slip there. The English clubs say that they will always avoid these things. But you know, I don't buy it completely because there's a lot of money there.
Because 1993. Didn't they say that before, too? That all the Premier League exists. The championship was the Premier League before, right? People don't know that. People have forgotten the early 90s and late 80s history of soccer in Britain, in England. And it's exactly what happened. So there you go.
So, yeah. Anyway, so if they want to create a third championship, then I wouldn't increase the amount of teams involved. I would decrease the amount of teams involved in the main one. And allow those teams to maybe play full on in their domestic season in the first half of the season and then just get down to business in January, because that's all we watch anyway, and get rid of some of these group stage games, because with all due respect, they don't really compel anymore. There's no novelty to them, and there's no – the divide between rich and poor has gotten more and more increased over the years.
Like, Dwayne, there's 8 games today. That's just Premier League – Champions League. 8 games. And tomorrow, there's 8 more.
And then you got Europa League on Thursday, which is
there's
what, 16,
200, 200 games on Thursday.
Yeah.
So and what am I going
to
do?
It's hard for people like us to keep any, like we can't, we don't, like we just don't even cover the Europa League until it gets to the round of 16.
Not because we don't want to, because there's only 24 hours in a day, 7 days in a week. And we can't do 7 hours, like a 24-hour podcast every day for 7 days. Like we have, Jesus, there's, when is it? I'm not saying there's too much soccer. But I'm saying it's getting too much now. The fandom and the amount of product available to you on your television, on your phone, on your screens, it's getting so complicated just thinking about what you want to watch, because you have so much option that you forget a lot of options. And that's what happened with the Champions League for me. Is I just, my soccer fix is covered. My soccer needs are covered. I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot about the Champions League.
And we've got MLS playoffs on Wednesday and Thursday. We've got the CanPL playoffs, which I'll be at on Saturday, the final against Hamilton and, let's use the proper terms, Forge FC and Cavalry FC, which is Calgary and Hamilton, are going to be playing for the first ever championships doing a two-leg tie starting this Saturday. So there's a lot going on that is taking our attention away right now. And it's going to be, you know, I will put it on my phone this afternoon and have the City game, but I'm not going to be trucking down to Opera Bob's and you know, getting all hardcore about it. I will, you know, keep a half eye on Atalanta and wish it was Atlanta versus Man City. That would be more interesting.
That would be fascinating. First of all, how the heck does this happen? The competitive games between teams of different continent? What's going on? Oh, wait, there's an extra there's an extra A in there somewhere.
Yes, it's hard to say when you have Atalanta. Anyway, but then
it's the same thing as you know, the team that we talked about in Mexico earlier. It was Dorados versus Atlante who got postponed it. And I'm like, do I take a chance by saying it without missaying it with Atalanta or Atlanta or Atlante? Jesus.
And then you could add Atlas on there as well.
So there's Atlas too. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The world, well, I feel the pressure of the world on my shoulder, I have to say.
You could create a league in FIFA with this, has all the AT teams on it, and have a little group play out and see how it plays out. There's your object for this afternoon.
Well, that could be fun.
Between all the AT teams in the world.
That could be fun. But on that note, Dwayne and I will rest our soccer for 24 hours. We'll come back tomorrow to talk about Champions League, talk about MLS playoffs, of course, starting back up tomorrow night already. And we'll have your preview show tomorrow. Until then, you can follow Dwayne on social media at 24th Minute, myself at Kev Larame. We'll have a Five Rings podcast in the coming days, a Two Solitudes podcast in the coming days too. So make sure you go to our Patreon page, patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. $2 a month goes a long way. And if you're listening to us live or on YouTube at this moment, click the follow button, click the subscribe button, and we'll see you tomorrow. And until then, have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.